What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network programmed with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of September 28th, 2018. Thank you for joining us. As the announcer dude just said, I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And I'm Beth Gatrell.
And in the control room on the other side of that big giant window with our logo on it is Erasmo in the control room. And Horatio in New York working with the show. We hope he continues to do that for the next 20, 30, 50 years. Because just that he's a few miles away doesn't mean he doesn't work with the show. He's still our research director, does a lot of stuff, handles the posts, does all kinds of neat stuff. And we couldn't do it without him. Right?
This is assuming he worked with the show when he was here in the studio.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that because he's going to be listening to these.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to say,
we love you, H. You
I love you, H. Thank you.
Hardest worker we've ever had on staff.
Yeah. Chris is going to get an email. Listen, I need you to take over the posts or something. Sorry, bye. And that'll happen this week after what you just said about him. I didn't say it, H.
Me neither.
And yeah, neither did Beth. And Erasmo's giving you a thumbs up, and we miss you. And Chris is looking for more work. Tech news and commentary in this segment, and then we'll get to more of your calls, because you remember the important mantra when you want to get some of the prizes we have available.
Call in, win stuff. Thank you.
And thank you, Cameron, because he's absolutely correct. That's what it's all about. What number, you may be asking, should you call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Beth now does nothing but hover over the phones, ready to take your calls. I actually sort of hold your hand through the process. When you dial the following number, you're going to see what we mean. And people say it's fun, and then we get you on the air the next week. The number is...
It is 800-899-INTO. That would be 800-899-4686.
There, you didn't sound so sure, but now you're sure.
I had to think of my letters to numbers conversion.
Gotcha. That's why you looked at your phone real quick. It was like, wait a minute, INTO is 4686. Got it. Well, see, it's that easy. And then you participate and you win prizes. Some tech news, mayhaps, in order?
Sure. An Apple I computer built in the 1970s that helped launch the personal computer age, as well as a trillion-dollar company, has just sold for $375,000.
Wow.
The original price was $666.66.
Wow.
Apparently because Steve Wozniak liked repeating numbers.
Yeah, 666.
Yeah. And 66 cents.
And six, right.
The winning bid came from a U.S.-based businessman who wished to remain anonymous. The computer is one of 60 or so remaining of the original 200 designed and built by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in 76 and 77, and one of 16 that still works.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. Only 16 still work.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't say much for the quality of Apple products, does it?
Yeah. Well, when you consider it's 40-something years old.
Yeah.
And it was the original owner that had kept it all these years just sold it.
That's pretty cool. And got that much money out of it, though.
And this is back when computers, it came as a kit. So it wasn't a keyboard and a monitor. You had to build all the stuff yourself.
Interesting. Erasmo, did you build your first Apple computer? No. He bought it at the store.
Yes, because he's too smart for that.
Yeah, exactly. Why Things is launching the Steel HR Sport Smartwatch as its debut product after company founder Eric Carreel reacquired the company from Nokia in May. The device includes an analog face along with a heart rate monitor and connected GPS on this particular smartwatch from Why Things. But it is kind of cool. He sold the company to Nokia, and then he just bought it back. I guess he wasn't happy with what Nokia was or wasn't doing with Why Things. And he saw, you know what? I'm going to just get it back. and then I'll do stuff. And they're coming out with a smartwatch.
Well, from what I read, Nokia was more than willing to sell it because apparently Yifengs was sort of bringing down their profits.
Yeah. So it was like, fine, you want to buy it back? Give us some money. Yeah. It's yours.
So he probably got a steal. He probably bought it for less than he sold it to them for. So he still, I'm sure, came out ahead.
Yeah, hopefully for his sake.
And due to the recent surge in industry interest of AR and VR, the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology in Australia launched the world's first course in augmented and virtual reality. The course will utilize a US-based company, Amazon's Sumerian platform, and it doesn't require any specialized programming or 3D graphic expertise. It is hoped that the course will provide future expertise for enterprises to draw on, leading towards what is expected to be a $13 billion U.S. industry by 2023.
Wow. So augmented reality, virtual reality, a lot of stuff that is coming that we barely even scratched the surface on. And as a matter of fact, our guest in the second hour today from White Rhino talking a lot about marketing and virtual reality in marketing. So if you missed that last hour, be sure and go and check that out. You want to check out the interview with Dan Greenwald. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to imagine what it's like to be inside a bladder, then you'll want to hear that interview.
And if you now just went, what? Did he say inside of bladder? Yes, he did. And you want to check out that interview. Hour two of today's show. Check it out at intotomorrow.com if you missed it otherwise for the weekend of September 28th. And check out the inside of the bladder. You'll certainly want to know what we're talking about there, but according to Beth's report just now, very much moving ahead and into tomorrow with virtual reality and augmented reality, you can expect a whole lot more of it coming as well. Pay TV retains the crown for sports viewership, but other options are gaining ground, with 18% of fans watching via streaming video and mobile accounting for 11% of viewership. That according to data from CSG International. In particular, streaming is being driven largely by millennials and Gen Z, who are mobile first in their approach to all forms of content. Caitlin would be a Gen Z, right?
Yes, she would. Yeah. Although I will say I was at a company function with my husband at a dinner on Saturday night, and it was a big football game on, and I can tell you at least half of the room was on their mobile devices watching this football game during the middle of the dinner.
Including your husband, no
yes.
doubt. Okay. So, and they are not Gen Zers or millennials.
No, not quite.
Wow.
Well, we took Cameron to the WWE Monday Night Raw here in Miami, and I'm sitting there, and I've got it playing from streaming it from Hulu on my phone. But, of course, that was also so we could hear what they were saying, because in the arena, we only saw the fight. We couldn't hear.
Yeah. They had exactly. Three or four commentators off to the side. We could see them and their lips moving and cameras on them, and they're lit up for TV, but nobody could hear in the arena what was going on. So Chris has it on, and it was somewhat delayed, of course, because it's going, and then it's up via satellite and then down again, and then Hulu, and then distributed. So there was a bit of a delay, but Cameron got the biggest kick out of seeing it live and then looking over on Chris's phone and getting the close-ups and you know, the real hits and so forth. It was kind of neat. But yeah, a whole lot of folks in the arena were doing that. Yeah. As we looked ahead in other seats in front of us, it's like, look at all these people watching it on their phones, and yet we're here.
Well, it's good for especially at very loud football games when you can't hear what they're talking about.
That's true. Throw your earbuds in and monitor it that way.
I've done that when I've gone to Dolphin games here. I've had the play-by-play streaming on my
phone. A lot of folks have been smart enough for many, many years to go to sporting events and listen on their local radio station to the coverage. Because then you're going to get the good play-by-play, because your stadium announcers never give you all the details. They might just give you who did the tackle, who made the touchdown, whatever. But your local radio station covering the game is going to give you color analysts and play-by-play and all the good stuff that you want to hear. And keep those earbuds in, but at least you're at the game. It's a whole other thing, though, if you're watching the game on a mobile device while you're at the game. That's sad.
Well, but if you get the seats that I can afford, you're all the way up top anyway, so it's easier to see it on the telephone screen.
Especially the instant replays.
Yeah.
You want to go, what? Did he really just do that? And then you can watch the instant replay close and then go back to the live action. Yeah. Of course, we continue to hear more and more about the new 5G technology, and you want to stay tuned here on Into Tomorrow for the latest. But one of the many moves to 5G wireless technology will help ramp up the growth of autonomous vehicles. by transmitting data in large amounts with much more reliability and at breakneck speeds, not possible even with 4G technology. The 5G tech could feature vehicles that actually talk to each other, a back seat that provides a home theater-style atmosphere, and data that could enhance maps, transmit road conditions, and produce feedback on a vehicle's performance. And that's not even talking about the use of your 5G cell phone, of which none are available yet. Don't get excited. Don't hold off buying a new phone because you're waiting for 5G. Stay tuned into tomorrow. We'll tell you all about it. But it's cool to talk about the other things that 5G will be bringing. And that's just yet another kind of cool example.
Toyota announced in an email sent to customers recently that it will no longer support Pandora and OpenTable apps through its Entune app suite.
Well, darn them.
Yeah. Owners apparently have until November 13th to use those two services through the infotainment system, at which point they will turn off for good. Now, perhaps the most irritating part of this is that once the services no longer work, the icons will still appear on the dashboard. And every time someone decides to click one of the non-functioning apps, it'll throw up an error message. The system likely can't remove these icons without an update, but it's unclear if Toyota even plans to update its systems to get rid of those icons.
And if you don't have a Toyota, maybe you don't care.
Yeah, maybe you don't care. But if you have a Toyota and you go to click on one of those apps, you're just going to start getting an error message instead of Toyota just sending out an update to remove them from the...
Well, that's why I said darn them.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Keep up with the current tech, for crying out loud. Don't go backwards. All right, that's it. I'm not going to buy a Toyota.
Okay, me either. I don't think I'm going to buy a Toyota.
I wasn't going to. But now I'm not, for sure.
Good.
Definitely. Google's upcoming 7-inch LCD touchscreen smart display, dubbed the Home Hub, will be available this fall for $149. Notably, the display weighs a little more than a pound, making it as light as the standard Google Home device. So not much in the way of weight, but you'll have that 7-inch LCD display. Might come in handy. Mm-hmm. Jude in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, listening on AM 800 CKLW. Hello, Jude.
I find it necessary to put up the security cameras on my properties. While researching security cameras, I'm inundated with wireless versus hardwired, copious amounts of different brand names. So I'm lost as to what would be best and the reasons that I might prefer Wi-Fi versus hardwire. I would love some input from you.
Well, hey, Jude. This should be a song.
See what you did there.
You see what I did there? What's best depends, of course, on your needs, obviously. But the main difference between wired and wireless is the ease of installation. Wireless cameras need power, but you probably have other devices that need power, too, near where you want these cameras.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to wired cameras, you have to run data cables of some sort. Sometimes they're Ethernet, sometimes they're old coax. But whatever they are, they have to cover the distance between the camera and the recorder or monitor. You may need an additional drop for power, or you may be able to draw power from the same cable. But even if it's all on one cable, it will need one to each camera you want to install. Now, that means you'll end up with a virtual spiderweb of cables all around your house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the pro side of the list, wired cameras are very unlikely to suffer from any meaningful interference unless your drops are very, very long. And so they're very reliable.
Wireless is probably more than enough for most people these days. Our Wi-Fi networks are solid, and we use them for everything. And having the cameras on that network makes it easy if you want to be able to reach your cameras when you're not home. With some wired camera systems, reaching your router may be yet another drop to think about.
Yeah. And again, with wireless, one of the points that Beth just made, we use our Wi-Fi for everything. And we're adding more and more and more items to our Wi-Fi, which could ultimately interfere with your wireless cameras. So maybe that's where wired comes in, because now you don't have as much interference or degradation of signal when you're trying to see full HD video to see the dirt bag going through your backyard or something.
Yeah, you know, and I'm in the process of trying to get cameras in my house, and I have a two-story house, and it's not one of these two-story up north houses that are all built out of wood. It's, you know, we got concrete floors and tile, so it's hard to, you know, to get from one floor to the other. So I'm looking at all these wireless cameras for my home because of that ease of installation.
Yeah. You wish there was a quick and easy way, and I know some of the companies like Ring and others will say, oh, we've got those at Nest, and you just slap it on. on, okay, great. But then you've got to change batteries regularly, or you have to take it down and recharge the device a lot and then put it back up again. Either way, wireless is not truly wireless in many cases. In most cases, you still got to have power somehow to those cameras, to those devices. And then even if it's wireless otherwise. But keep that in mind. We keep adding more and more things to our existing Wi-Fi. Now, if you're lucky like us, you got a gigabit fiber, and you can add stuff. You got plenty of room to do that with bandwidth that works and can be relied on. That's great, but you're still adding more and more things. And even with a gigabit of service, you're going to start slowing stuff down.
You mean lucky like you with a gigabit of service?
Well, okay.
I have like a quarter percent of your speed. I have, I got 25 megabit.
A quarter percent. And you have less than that, right? You live out in the boonies in Naples.
The boonies. It seems to work okay. The kids still can play Fortnite, so I guess we're good.
There you go. There are priorities. So, Jude, I hope we helped you out. Let us know what you end up going with, because it'll help other listeners as well. Meantime, do visit us at intotomorrow.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
Into Tomorrow doth continue. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And I'm Beth Gatrell. October is National Cybersecurity Month, and in this hour, Dave talks with Russ Schrader, Executive Director of the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
I do, in fact, and it's pretty cool information.
Yes,
you
want
to stay tuned for that coming up in just a few moments.
This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower. Visit Dexcom.com. Again, that's DEXCOM.com.
It's time for our EFO History Feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past.
Here's Chris Graveline.
History. Chris is history.
Hey! Traffic information is always getting better and is constantly updated. With the introduction of a traffic message channel at the International Funkausstellung in 1997, car radios with TMC reception got updated information continuously. The information was stored internally and could be retrieved any time, acoustically or via the display. TMC is still an essential element of dynamic navigation systems today, which use the updates to find the best way around a traffic jam. That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
Nicholas in Malden, Massachusetts, listens online at intotomorrow.com. Hey there.
Hi, I have a ZTE phone, and it's been in the news a lot lately, and supposedly China can spy on Americans using it. So are they spying on me using this phone?
Well, we don't know, Nicholas. We're not China. But seriously, they're probably really in a position where they don't care about you. No offense. They may have the capacity to spy on you, but spying on millions of devices at once is not very practical in the long run.
Yeah. Now, if you happen to get a job at Lockheed working on secret projects, or if you were involved in Apple's proprietary chip designs or anything like that that may benefit either the Chinese government or Chinese manufacturers, they probably could. There's very little to gain in spying on some guy's Netflix habits and text messages about how he's out of milk and his roommate should pick some up. There's a lot to gain in spying on secret information.
And if you don't have confidential information on your phone, they may be able to spy on you, but they probably don't really care to do it.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be spying on any of us, because none of us are doing some top-level, top-secret thing with the military or otherwise. And in the long run, I would avoid those devices, because our own intelligence communities have said Huawei phones and ZTE phones, or in Europe they say ZTE, are questionable in terms of what they might have planted in them, just for the possibility that they could be spying, if you will. So if in doubt, throw it out, right? If in doubt, don't use those devices. As, again, our own intelligence folks have said, don't use them. They're actually outlawed now for military. They're not allowed on bases, even, and things of that nature, for that reason.
And it's a shame, because I've always liked the saying, the name Huawei. I don't know why. It sounds cool to say.
Well,
Huawei.
You can have a Huawei.
I don't want a Huawei. I just like saying Huawei.
That's because you like Wawa as well.
That could be.
Wawa as well.
Yeah.
This is a lot of the W's in there. Yeah. And it doesn't look like it should be Huawei. If you've ever seen the name, it's
H-A-I-W-U-A.
Yeah, it's something weird. But it's pronounced Huawei, and I've learned that in China years ago. Asking their CEO, how do you pronounce the company name? And he told me in Chinese. And I went, no. How do you pronounce it in English? And it was Huawei. So there you go. I hope we helped you in some way, Nicholas, in the long run. But don't worry. I think you're fine. Intotomorrow.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
You're tuned into Tomorrow, your weekly update on the latest in consumer electronics and technology, gadgets and gizmos, products and services, all sorts of things available today and into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We've been doing this show for 23 years now, and we can't do it without you, not just you as a listener, but even more importantly, you as a participant on the program. We want to hear from you anytime, 24/7. If you've got a digital dilemma that we can help solve, you've got a consumer tech problem, question, concern, you want to share some tech rage, whatever the case, maybe you want to share with us your favorite app these days, because something that you might be sharing with your family and friends or at the water cooler, well, consider us the digital water cooler and let us know what it is. We can let other people know they might want to try an app out. 800-899-4686. Anytime at your convenience. 800-899-INTO. We want to hear from you. Call in. Win stuff. It's a great mantra to live by as it relates to Into Tomorrow. The National Cybersecurity Alliance is a leading nonprofit public-private partnership promoting cybersecurity and privacy education and awareness. Their executive director of, again, the National Cybersecurity Alliance is Russ Schrader. Russ, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much, Dave, for inviting me to join you and your listeners today.
It's a pleasure to have you. National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and we certainly want to let folks know that it's the kind of thing where we remind people every single week on the show, but the month of October is important because that's been earmarked, right, as Cybersecurity Awareness Month to really help get more attention.
Absolutely. This is our 15th annual. We've been at this quite a long time, and it's got some tremendous opportunities for people to learn about simple, actionable steps that'll help them, you know, work in our shared responsibility on cybersecurity. Everybody's got a role to play, and we really try to make it easy and simple for them to keep themselves safer and more secure online.
And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's important to do that all the time. But why is an awareness month actually necessary?
Well, first of all, the threats are always with us. Yes, it's a 365. And it's our shared responsibility to figure out what these things are going to do. But just like you hear things like change the batteries in your smoke detector when you change your clocks, for example, mm-hmm. or when you make good, you know, New Year's Eve resolutions as to what you're going to do good in the new year, this month is a way to highlight different topics for different audiences about things they should keep in mind to take those kinds of steps right now. If you get too scattered during the year, it doesn't happen. But here we're just trying to say, just do this, get into a bit of a habit, and just focus on it right now before you're doing your holiday shopping, before you're doing even more web surfing, before you're sharing even more of those holiday pictures than you do before. Get yourself ready for that season.
And, of course, we all have various challenges, especially with online behavior. But I'll bet you've got some good tips for really getting people to change some of their unsafe behavior.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some of the most easy ones are update your machine. Keep a clean machine. These patches are put out by your operating system because they found a threat, because they have new options that they want you to have. So please download those patches, update your system, and just clean out the stuff. Also, you know, just like when you go through and throw out stuff that are in the closet or cleaning out at a certain point, whether it's end of the year or changing their wardrobe, you have apps on your phone that you haven't looked at for years. One of those things like, you know, which house in Harry Potter did you belong to? Which, you know, character is most like yours? You've looked at them. They were fun, but you haven't used them. You don't. They're taking up space. They may be collecting data on you. If you don't use that app, just delete it. It's part of keeping a cleaner machine. The other part is your password. Really, the longer, the better. It shouldn't be too tricky for you to remember. It should, you know, have, you know, upper lower case. It should be long spaces, that kind of thing. One of the things I suggest is pick a phrase that you can remember. For example, if you wanted to have a password that was Mary had a little lamb, that's a nice long password. That's not as easy to break. Maybe you throw in a couple exclamation points or substitute a character for a vowel. But then when you have time to change it, you have an easy one to move to. Her fleece was white as snow. Dave, I have to tell you that those are not my passwords, so
oh, good.
Please don't try them.
Oh, darn. I had a team in the control room already trying to break in.
All right. But the idea is to make it something that's easy for you but hard for others.
And Russ, I'm glad you mentioned things like that because I know we hear from our audience all the time and they say, thank you for reminding me because, yeah, I'm one of those that uses password 123 or something like that. And it's like, oh my gosh, don't do that. That is so easy to crack. It's so easy, automatic for people to get into. And you're thinking, well, but I don't really have anything all that important. Well, do you ever do banking perhaps on your phone or on your computer? Isn't that important? You know, it's like, well, I've got nothing to hide, but yeah, that's true. Banking, or maybe I pay a credit card bill online. Well, there you go. It should be, as you said, Russ, a little complicated without being hard to remember, but you've got to make it alphanumeric and a character or two, upper and lower case. I know it sounds complicated, but folks, you can't do the word password for your password. That's nuts. And we can't tell you that enough. And people say, thanks again for reminding me because, yeah, I've kind of been stuck with it. Or you might get a Wi-Fi router and their very common, simple password, master or admin or something like that, because that's how they come so you can at least set it up. But then they also recommend, as we do, change it immediately. It's all for your protection. And we've got to keep these things in mind more than just during National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Absolutely. And I think the idea behind it is get a password manager that would probably make it even easier for you. That way, you only have to remember one. The other thing to bear in mind is that when you're going through your passwords, to, as you pointed out, banking is pretty important. It may be as important, not as important as some of your other apps. Think about whether you want to go to two-factor authentication, where they will send you a code to your computer, to your phone, something else, or have Face ID if you have one of those facial recognition phones. Try to do more than just the password when it's really important to you. You can be a little bit slack on some of the other things, and although maybe I shouldn't say that, but it's human nature.
Yeah.
But when it has something like your health, when it's like your financial things, you just really have to worry about who has access to your personal information.
And good that you talked about the two-factor authentication, because with the modern cell phones, we have those abilities. Use a fingerprint and a password or a PIN. Use your facial recognition or iris or something of that nature. And while you might think, oh, but that's such a pain because I do it so frequently, well, think about how much of a pain it's going to be if somebody manages to get in to your banking or takes over your personal information somehow. You're going to then say, oh, if I only would have listened to Dave and Russ. So that's the kind of thing I think that is so important and great that we have this awareness month, because it gives us this extra push to just sort of remind people about what they can do. And you talk on your site about be part of something big, how folks can get involved and promote a safer, more secure internet. You really do encourage people, not just for themselves, but in general to help promote.
Absolutely. We have Stop, Think, Connect. And people can go to those sites and join. We have #@CyberAware for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And our site, which is www.staysafeonline.org, has really a tremendous resource tips and a lot of things that are focused how to deal with kids, families, elders, business. Just get in there and find out some things that you can do to exercise kind of our shared responsibility to keep a clean machine and just to be cyber aware, which is also the hashtag for our NCSA site for this month.
Very good. And you also talk about helping to keep your business secure. So if you've got especially a small business, a SOHO, a small office, home office thing going on, that can be even more important than just protecting your personal pictures or something, because now you're talking about your livelihood, and you've got some great tips about keeping your business secure as well.
Absolutely. We do have a whole special program that holds out programs for small business, like half-day sessions that are held in different parts of the country, called Cyber Secure My Business. And it really is good to sit down with other entrepreneurs, other people who are also working from home in small business. And some of the really good practices that you have from business, please take them to your home and vice versa. Because the line between our digital, our real life, our work ID, our personal ID, more and more of that is blurring these days.
For sure. And you can learn more about staying safe online anytime, but especially during National Cybersecurity Month, by visiting staysafeonline.org. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Russ, let's make sure we get you back on. There's so much more to cover, and we've got to talk more about this on an ongoing basis, as we try to do, not just in the month of October, but good that we're extra aware to help keep all of ourselves safe online.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. I think getting the word out has been terrific, and I really appreciate your advocacy for privacy and security and for all of our safety.
It's absolutely our pleasure. StaySafeOnline.org. And we'll meet you at IntoTomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline, bringing you further Into Tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. Call right now. 888-912-1332.
As Into Tomorrow continues, do you get our free once-a-week tech newsletter? Of course you do, but there is an occasional person that you may know that does not. Well, be sure to visit intotomorrow.com. Little box pops up. Put your email address only in there. We don't share it with anyone, so your privacy is guaranteed with us. And then you'll get an email asking you to confirm that you want to get it. It's a double opt-in program because we don't spam anyone. And then you will begin to receive our free once-a-week tech newsletter. In addition to tech news, who's on the show, what prizes we have available this week, some thoughts to make you smile, we have things like additional stories, for example.
Beth's tech tip this week, October 2nd is National Day to Recognize Children's Health. And by heading online or visiting your favorite app store, you can gather great information to keep your kids healthy.
And in addition to Beth's tech tip every week, we've also got other cool things, like in this case.
Like how to build a butt-kicking gaming PC for less than $1,000.
Ooh. And that's kind of a challenge. What's that about?
It's build the best gaming PC possible for under a grand. We share a part-by-part recipe for a killer RGB wild rig in this week's Into Tomorrow Tech Newsletter.
There you go. You can't beat that. And, of course, we want you to receive our free tech newsletter.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second. Learn more at OWCDigital.com.
Bonnie in Montrose, Colorado, listens on News Radio 580 AM KUBC. Hey, Bonnie.
Well, I have a problem with my Samsung 5. I have all these pop-ups, and I just can't seem to get them off of my phone. They pop up constantly, driving me crazy. Please help me. I just don't know what to do. I've taken it to the techs at the help store, but that doesn't help me because they don't know what to do either. Please help me. I'm just so sick of these pop-ups.
Well, Bonnie, unfortunately, we really don't know what to do either because we're not quite sure what you might be referring to. If you're getting a lot of notifications from a specific app, you can remove its permissions to notify you of anything in the phone settings. That might be one of the issues.
Yeah, any other type of pop-ups would be very strange to us, and they would likely mean that your phone is rooted. If that's the case, getting rid of the problem without restoring it may be a little harder, and restoring and unrooting may be your best bet.
Without knowing more about the pop-ups, we can't really suggest much, though. We don't really know what you mean by that, and since that's the problem itself, we can't be of much help unless you reach out with more information.
Yeah, Chris's phone is busy popping up with notifications. This must be your latest fling. Friend girl. That
it's apparently settings that I misunderstood in the new iOS 12 that I set because I set for my favorites that will alert me even when the phone is in do not disturb mode. Apparently, those people will also then come through when the phone is in silent mode, which it is as I'm always in the studio. So even though my phone is in silent, it still is alerting me. So thank you, Apple, for making your settings confusing.
Yeah, Diane, he'll call you when he's off the air. Okay, just relax. You have to make sure she hears that part.
Yeah.
And then she'll hate me. that's kind of funny, though. So we're hearing all kind of noises. Now we know why, because you're figuring, do not disturb. I'm not going to be disturbed. We're on the air.
Right.
Except you listed her as a favorite. I'm sure she'll be pleased to know that. one of many? No. Now I'm getting him in trouble. I love it. So, yeah, iOS 12 feature, just make sure you know how to use
Apple.
It. Yeah, you're welcome, Apple. Intotomorrow.com, what do you think?
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570.
So when you look at your brand new tablet or smartphone, is the first thing to go through your mind, now what do I do? Well, then you're in the right place. This is Into Tomorrow. We are here to help, not only to help you make the decision about what to buy, what to try, but also once you get these things and you want to know some more features, or maybe there's a problem or you have a little tech rage about it, let us help you with that. 800-899-INTO, anytime 24/7. 800-899-4686. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Beth Gatrell.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower. Visit Dexcom.com. That's DEXCOM.com.
Mike in Ontario, Canada, listening on AM 800 CKLW. Hello, Mike.
Hi, I've got an iPad that fell into some water.
Ooh.
And I can't get it to come back on or anything else. Is there anything I can do?
Well, Mike, unfortunately, not really, not very likely. The damage is probably already done. Now, if it just happened, we'd tell you to leave it alone, not plug it in, not try to turn it on, store it somewhere with a drying agent, or failing that, of course, rice. However, if you've already tried to run it and it doesn't turn on, there's not much room for preventative action at this point.
Yeah, your best bet is to try to let it dry further and see if it happens to turn on in a few days, but be prepared for it to stay the way it is now. If you're so inclined, you can take it to Apple, but they probably won't be of any help since their warranty doesn't cover water damage.
Replacing it won't be cheap, so if you have anything like homeowners insurance, it may be worth getting in touch with the insurance company to find out if the electronics are covered and if they're willing to replace it for you.
Now, that's a good idea, but your deductible may be worth two iPads, but maybe there's an option.
I don't know. Have you checked the iPad prices lately?
Yeah. But, of course, I mentioned rice earlier.
Yes, the rice worked for me with an old iPhone that I had. I put it in the rice.
Uncooked
rice. Ziploc-type bag, so you have it sealed nice and tight there. And I just left it there for a couple of days. I went back later. It turned on, and it worked just fine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So let it dry out and then give it a shot. But now that usually has to be done pretty quick, right away, because you want to draw all that moisture out from around all the small parts and everything else. I mean, if there's a battery that can be removed, not in an iPad, of course, but in other tablets maybe or other smartphones, remove the battery immediately, of course, and then put it in uncooked rice and just let it sit for a day or two. And hope for the best.
Yeah, because the damage comes because of power and shorting out. And generally, these tablets, they don't turn off. They just go to sleep. So even when they appear off, there's still power running through it. And if they get wet, then it can short out and damage the board.
Yeah, water is a conductive of electricity. So shorting out is an issue. Let us know if that worked for you, Mike. Intotomorrow.com is where I will look for you now.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks. Available in your app store or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.